Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Well, I could say welcome back, but feels more like hell come back because the Rams are in hell, a three-game losing streak's worth of hell. It feels as though it's been forever since a good Rams moment because there was also a bye week. So it doesn't feel that strong right now for the Rams and their aspirations of being one of the best teams in the NFC. In fact, if you look back, other than a week three win over the Buccaneers, not a lot for Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford and Les Snead and everybody on the team to hang their hats on this season. And the Rams lose on Sunday to the Green Bay Packers. The score was a difference of 8 points, but it might as well have been a 20 plus point blowout. The Rams didn't look good at any point in the game. Even though it was 20-17 at halftime, never felt all that close. And it, just as quickly, it was 36-20, should have been 37, obviously, to 20. Green Bay has a few kicking issues, but overall, after losing to the 49ers 31-10 in week 10, losing to the Titans 28-16 in week 9. So three straight games that the Rams haven't even been competitive, even if those teams are okay to fine. Look at the four wins before that: Seahawks, Giants, Lions, Texans. The Rams really need to do something to prove that they're not just, when we were talking at 7-1, we were talking about whether or not the Rams were the best team in the NFL. 4 weeks later, it's a question of whether or not the Rams will, not if they'll make the playoffs, because I'm pretty sure that they will. It's a question of whether or not it even matters, which is exactly where the Rams were a year ago. Does it even matter if you made the playoffs in 2020 with how the Rams had looked at the end of the season, losing to the Jets and, you know, not being strong at quarterback at the point of where it seemed like John Wolford might have been the actual starting quarterback in the playoffs. So it all kind of adds up to a lot of questions will be raining down upon Sean McVay, Les Snead about the offseason because of what happened this Sunday, all the mistakes, Sean McVay's decisions, not just as a coach on game day, but how this roster is constructed and how his coaching staff is constructed. I'm Kenneth Arthur. We're coming to you after every game. With me, as always, is Blaine Didasco, another fiasco. We were talking, it just seems like it's been so long since even good things, and you couldn't even really celebrate the good things against the Giants, the Lions, and the Texans, because who cares about beating those teams? It just doesn't seem like this is not just, you know, that when the Stafford trade was supposed to be like, are the Rams a juggernaut? And then the Rams added Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr. in the middle of the season. And it's not even worth talking about the Rams as a juggernaut. Even at 7-4, it's not even talking about them in the conversation as one of the top four teams in the NFC. Blaine, after this game and the previous two games, where do you think you stand now on expectations for LA in the final six games?
Well, confidence is taking a slide for sure. Going into a tough stretch of the season coming up, especially the way that we look, this team is in bad shape, and I think that in a lot of instances the talent is still, you know, still can't be questioned. We know we got talent on this roster, but you know the way that we're utilizing the talent, I think is kind of all over the map. I think it calls for definitely a lot of big questions, starting from the coaches, the scheme. I know we'll talk about, what specifically, what players, where, should be in question, like the Stafford trade. And maybe we start talking about, you know, some of the players that we let go last season, specifically on defense, John Johnson, Troy Hill. We start to think about those free agent losses the more and more this defense gets pushed around like they did today.
Yeah, you bring up some really key points here as far as the not just bringing in Stafford or bringing in people, but the players who the Rams once again let go, let walk in free agency, and or whatever case may be, trading Michael Brockers as well. There's a number of things that we can all point to. And at the end of the day, I do think that the Rams do have a talent issue, because it's easy to, you know, look up at the sky at night and see the Big Dipper. I seem to be able to do it automatically. Every time you look up, it's like your eyes are drawn to that Big Dipper and you go, whoa, oh my God, look, a Big Dipper, stars are beautiful. and like, you know, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and Matthew Stafford, you know, these are Big Dippers, and OBJ is a constellation, and Von Miller is, you know, a big star. But if you want to see the stars and be amazed, if you want to go, and, you know, especially talking from someone who's lived in LA for over 10 years now, if you want to actually, if you see the stars, you know, you can't do it in LA. You got to go out somewhere and look up at somewhere in Central California, get away from the city lights and the light pollution. You can look up and see that it's much more magnificent to look at a sky and have it be littered with little bright white dots. That's beautiful. That's what you want to see, is a sky that is loaded. And I think the Rams have just the constellations. They have the LA look at the sky. It's like, yeah, okay, cool. Stars are great. You know, who doesn't love a nice Big Dipper? But or Ryan's belt, God bless him. It's just that I see a lot of holes, I see a lot of voids, I see a lot of black space where there's nothingness, called, you know, Troy Reader, and called, yeah, you know, Taylor Rapp, or called, you know, God bless him as well, Dante Dion. You know, I hold Dante Dion up there with Orion. I think, you know, they're just both great, great people in history. And yet I don't say that when Dante Dion has to cover Davante Adams, you know? So yeah, you point out John Johnson and Troy Hill. You know, Troy Hill took a lot of criticism and heat some at times throughout his Rams career, but he had a pretty good season in 2020. He would have been affordable if the Rams had decided not to make a few other decisions. He would have been easily affordable. I think you could afford a Troy Hill if you had just decided to trade or cut Johnny Hecker instead of Corey Bohorquez, and you would also have Corey Bohorquez instead of Johnny Hecker. You know, we could get, and that'll be a whole thing that will go off in terms of special teams later. But I think that the Rams, defensively especially, you're just looking at, well, great, if you have Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. And by the way, I mean, it's not like Aaron Donald is taking over games. It's not like he's really at that prime where Aaron Donald was in his prime, you know? So now you're looking at Aaron Donald at the stage that he's at in his career at 30. And you're looking at, you know, outside of Jalen Ramsey and Donald. And, you know, I don't know that I see a ton of stars here, including Leonard Floyd. I like Jordan Fuller. You're not going to hear his name a ton in the game. You know, people who can impact the game directly by rushing the passer. You know, the Rams weren't facing the Packers full five starting offensive line, not even close. They got one sack from Greg Gaines, you know, so I see a lot of holes. I don't think that the Rams do have a talented defense. Actually, I think that right now the Rams have a pretty porous defense, and days like today really showed out. What do you think of, you know, maybe some of those players? Because another issue that I think has to be brought up is some of the players who don't play, like Terrell Burgess. And it's just like, well, I don't really think that it's a good sign for Terrell Burgess more so than anything else. And then it goes back to the draft decision. So on defense, did you have any special concerns directly? I know that there was a lot of talk of Troy Reader today.
Yeah, I mean, I bet on both sides. You're right that for what talent we do have on defense, it's concentrated where we have, you know, we're spending say a big focus and big money, part of the budget, on some of these stars and, you know, Aaron Donald and Von Miller, but we're leaving these big holes. And yeah, Troy Reader's name came up a lot. I bet even on the Packers side all week in terms of, hey, this is the guy that we're going to pick on, and it showed. So he was all over the map, struggling to make tackles, struggling in coverage against Davante Adams and any other receiver. So that's a big gap, makes us think about the trade with Kenny Young. Would he have been better in this game? And then, as I mentioned, John Johnson is gone, so we're relying on Taylor Rapp. And today it looked like those were the two targets, and they were effective. Always credit to Aaron Rodgers, whose accuracy doesn't allow you to make mistakes. And if he finds a weakness, he's going to exploit it. And so where the Rams didn't do their part to stay competitive today, Aaron Rodgers did. And this is the result.
Yeah, and offensively, setting aside Matthew Stafford for now, I just think that also this is the third game in a row where Cooper Kupp, you look at his numbers and you would never, this is why statistics and box scores and all that kind of stuff. When I was a kid, I thought box scores were great. I also thought the WWF was great. And guess what? I don't think wrestling's great now. And we don't even have a WWF. It's a WWE. So I look at box scores as a kid the same way. You got to grow up and grow out of box scores. Cause I look at Cooper Kupp, three straight games, he's had over 90 yards, maybe over 100 yards. And yet I don't remember anything he did. It's not like I'm throwing him under the bus, because clearly Cooper Kupp is not the problem. And that is not what I'm saying, but there is some problem with the fact that the Rams just haven't been able to create consistent success offensively in the important parts of the game. And instead, Cooper Kupp for these last couple of games, and Matthew Stafford as well, of course, because that's where it's all coming from, are gaining a lot of these yards in the fourth quarter when the team is already down 10, 12, 15, 14, 20 points or whatever. And it's meaningless. So when we were in the early part of the season, Cooper Kupp was dominating the first half of the game. Cooper Kupp was maybe the MVP of the first half, and a lot of that doing with Matthew Stafford's success. But then again, like I was saying in the beginning of the podcast, the Rams weren't playing a very tough schedule in the first half, faced a lot of soft defenses, a lot of soft teams that aren't going to be in the playoffs. Now against playoff teams, Cooper Kupp has not been a dominant force in the first half of the game, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, that's not working. And without Robert Woods for the whole rest of the year because of a torn ACL, more of the onus falls on Van Jefferson, who has a big 79 yard touchdown. And we say, okay, great, Matthew Stafford and Van Jefferson, and there's like a lot of hope here. Finishes the day, three catches, 93 yards on 9 targets, so that's 6 targets that didn't go anywhere. That's a 179 yard catch and then 2 catches for 14 yards. That's not a number 2 receiver. Odell Beckham Jr. Again, I wouldn't say Odell Beckham Jr. is any part of the problem. And he had 5 catches for 81 yards and a touchdown. He was targeted 10 times. It's just like, that was supposed to be a whole combination of efforts to say the Rams are going to be able to put up points consistently in ways that they never were with Jared Goff. And that hasn't really been enough of the case. Sometimes it is the case, but it hasn't been enough of the case. We can see Matthew Stafford and OBJ like connect on a long touchdown. We can see that happen with any of these numbers on a long touchdown. And it's great, because I think in the modern NFL, it's like playing catch up, and it's just about who can get to a certain score faster. And here the Packers were able to get to 36. They were able to get to 30 faster than the Rams, who got 28. So it's not enough points. It's not okay to be, it's just not okay to score 28 points in the NFL against the Packers. And that's not like saying, that's not saying that it's the expectation for every team, but it is the expectation for the Rams. It is the expectation for a team that went to the Super Bowl a few years ago. It is the expectation for a team that has traded everything that they can possibly get their hands on for the best possible team right now. I wouldn't even say the Rams are a top 10 team right now. And that's not good. Blaine, where would you kind of rank the Rams, do you think, at this point?
Yeah, I'd say definitely outside of the top 10. I mean, they got issues. The timing is off. They're even Matthew Stafford, the turnovers. Like you said, it's hard when you just look at the turnovers, especially in the last 3 games, to really separate him from Jared Goff. We were just about getting away from that when in the first half of the season when Matthew Stafford was on a roll and looking really good, putting up big numbers. We almost put the comparisons to rest, but now they kind of come back, but on the opposite end where, you know, the sack fumble, you know, picks to the house in the last couple games is, you know, now we got to look at what's the difference and where are we gaining from this trade since the post-Goff era. So that's where we're at. I think definitely outside of top 10. I don't know if this team is still finding themselves or we have big problems, but it's not looking a whole lot different than it did last season.
Yeah, and let's start by talking with regards to Sean McVay. It's so complicated, I guess. It's such an interesting relationship that that Sean McVay has, not just with the media and the fans, but also I think just my own general feelings about Sean McVay can change very quickly. I've never once been on the bandwagon of like Sean McVay is a bad coach, which I see those comments quite a lot, not from everybody, you know, from a small percentage of the Turf Showtime readers or on Twitter or whatever. It's probably not that many, but it's very like consistent. And not all of those people, you know, some of those people I think are making very valid points. Not necessarily means that I'm going to agree that Sean McVay would fall into the category of being bad coach or not being the right coach for the Rams. What happened in the four? I've never once questioned if Sean McVay, and yet in the fourth quarter, that last 2 minutes of the game, I don't know what happened. That's like some of the worst direct example of poor coaching I think I've ever seen. It's crazy to me that they ran a running play on third and one. It didn't make any sense. And I'm sure there's been an explanation given, you know, this is an instant reaction and whatever. I haven't seen all that kind of stuff yet. And I'm sure like maybe even it's just over my head. When that play was happening, I thought earlier than that, like a minute before that, I thought, well, maybe they just kicked the field goal now. They just wasted any time they had. It doesn't matter if the onside kick was an improbability. The whole thing was an improbability. You're down by 11 points with less 2 minutes to go. At least makes sense. You know, what were your thoughts on Sean McVay and those last couple minutes?
Yeah, I agree that that was, you know, we're in passing mode all the way in the last 2 minutes. And even coming down to how we finished that drive, you know, I thought it was definitely sort of four down territory. I would go for a touchdown all the way. I don't get that last field goal attempt either. Like I said, it's whether no matter the probability of the onside kick, I think we needed a touchdown there to give us any hope. And I would have, you know, like I said, I would have threw the ball down that stretch and definitely kept it a four down game and tried to punch it in.
I think what did you also think about the first quarter decision to go for it on fourth and one from their own 30 or so at that point? Did it seem like Sean McVay was kind of conceding immediately that he didn't think the Rams had a good chance to win?
Yeah, that one was, to me, that was a sign of a big difference between this year and last year of our confidence in our defense. Last year we would have punted it. We would have punted it knowing that, hey, our defense, best in the league, is going to get it back. We'll get a great punt. And so I definitely think that that's a big sign of the difference between this year and last year. So I think I would have punted it there. And then having gone for it, you know, maybe a bit more creativity with the play call. Nothing crazy. Still a run play, I think. But to give it that straight zone dive up the middle, I thought it was a bad call, and not surprised that we got stuffed there, but
yeah,
I think we should have punted it there and been more aggressive in the fourth quarter.
It's kind of crazy. Yeah. That the fact that it was even any of those, I mean, I'm sure that play has picked up a first down in front of my own very eyes thousands of times. I'm sure that, you know, it seems like, oh yeah, I'm sure that it works all the time. In my memory, I've only ever seen that play fail. You know, it's like, as soon as you're handing it off to somebody on fourth and one, and you're handing it off 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage, I'm just like, this will never work. And in my memory, it never does, because it's just, you're giving so much of an opportunity for the defense to win a battle. And you're talking about a defense that has Kenny Clark and Rashawn Gary. And it's not that the Rams offensive line is that adept at doing their jobs against especially those kind of quality players in the run game, that it's just kind of mind blowing. And furthermore, it's kind of mind blowing. I mean, you can also just, the guy on the other side of the field was Matt LaFleur, and, you know, and the, another guy, Zach Taylor over with the Bengals, is doing quite well this season after a couple of bad years. So, you know, there's definitely, and you could even say, hey, look, the defense that the, that just beat the Rams today is coached by the former Rams assistant head coach under Sean McVay. So the Sean McVay's coaching tree is doing pretty good. You know, Brandon Staley not having the best time right now, I don't think, but overall it's all doing quite well. So, but it's just so funny to think that also Sean McVay is, you know, the tree that blossoms the most over the last few years. And yet these are some really questionable decisions, and not just on game day. I also talk about, he's in a very difficult position with regards to whether or not he can fire, I think, Joe DeCamillis as the special teams coordinator at this point. And that's because how many times can you do that in a 3-year period? How many times can you keep firing the special teams coordinator, or parting with the special teams coordinator and blaming it on the coordinator? It's, I think you're running out of chances to blame it on the coordinator. At this point, the Rams are losing so many games or losing so many opportunities and giving the other team so many opportunities because of special teams. I don't know who else to blame but Sean McVay. You're in charge of the whole team. You keep hiring these special teams coordinators and being disappointed. What did you expect this time that was going to be different than Bones, or what did you think that was going to be different than the guy last year? You know, it's just so befuddling. And then he also has to answer for the coordinator positions. Raheem Morris, and he has to answer for, you know, the whatever role Kevin O'Connell plays, but more so he has to answer for his own offensive play calling, which seems to be so unadept. You know, it seems to be so ironically behind the modern times when he was just so recently the most modern coach, you would think.
Yeah, thank goodness for Robert Rochelle's fumble recovery or muffed punt recovery as any hope of a silver lining to the special teams this game.
Yeah,
but I agree, man. Put it on the head coach, especially at this point, to find this late in the season a reliable punt returner. This late in the season, I think, yeah, there's little excuse for that. And so, you know, having Koski back there. And Cooper Kupp, none of them reliable, even when earlier in the season when we were experimenting with Tutu Atwell. I think we're just waiting too long to make changes back there to find somebody reliable. And so we're paying for it. But I think Koski never looked sure-handed, never looked confident back there. And I think we all kind of saw something like that fumble coming.
Yeah, it's that's the most frustrating thing, is that you would just think that if the Rams simply had a really good special teams unit this year, at the very least, I think it would have given the team overall a better chance to make up for some of the really horrible things that offense and defense does. Because I don't want to take the onus off of the offense and the defense, but in spite of all the problems that they've had with consistency on offense, and in spite of, you know, the defense just not even being close to what it was a year ago, in spite of which we should have expected. I expected the defense to not be as good, but now it's not competitive with playoff teams. And that's the only thing that really matters. You know, it doesn't matter if you can beat the Lions and the Bears. It really doesn't. So it only matters to give yourself the best possible home field advantage chances against playoff teams. The Rams aren't going to have any home field advantage in the playoffs at any point. They're just not going to host any playoff games. And so that means having to go to Green Bay. I mean, if they have to go to Green Bay, if they have to go to Tampa Bay, even having beaten the Bucks, I just don't see that much. I wouldn't have that much confidence But this is coming right off of such a horrible point in the year. So there, take that with it. Blaine, I want to go through as quickly as we can, just sort of the roster right now. And because these final six games, you know, trying to just inject some sort of optimism, or even if it's just realism, into what are the odds of, you know, this, of the Rams getting the changing. I don't know how it's going to change, but let's look at the roster real quick and talk about how the Rams got to that place. I'm going to say the position and the player that the Rams currently have there. And you just give me your confidence score on a 1 to 10 scale. How does that sound?
Sounds fun.
Let's just start at the head. Matthew Stafford at quarterback. As far as just had confidence, yeah, in the quarterback position from here to the end of the year, how confident are you that that is a good quarterback?
You know what? I was a holdout with Jared Goff for, you know, for most of the time there up until last season, really. You know, I really hung in there rooting for the guy, and I'm going to stick with that positioning with Matthew Stafford. Something's not right, whether it's just, you know, now getting used to the more competitive teams. Maybe he's not getting the help that he needs from the coaching and the scheme and the playbook. And then maybe it's his health and condition. So even right up to this game, you know, some people are saying, like, this is not news about Matthew Stafford not being in perfect condition. But maybe today was worse than others. At some point, just like I did with Jared Goff, at some point we got to call it and realize that, you know, he's not the guy that we were hoping for, that we thought he was going to be. But at this point in time, I'm still going to stick with Stafford and see how it goes, at least for the remainder of this season, hoping that he can pull it together, especially if he gets the scheme to help support him and back him up.
And where do you think you would rate that on a 1 to 10?
At the moment, let's call it no higher than a 7, but yeah, you know, but optimistic still.
And we're talking a month ago, we might have been putting that at a 9, you know, so it's definitely trended down. I think that for me, I was always way in favor, and I remain in favor of the Stafford trade, because I always said it was not so much about Stafford, who I felt like was at least an above average, probably right around an above average quarterback. It was just that I didn't think Jared Goff was even capable of starting in the NFL anymore. And so the Rams had to do something. Otherwise, there's a very good chance that it would have just wasted everything else that was on the roster. If the Rams had to go with Jared Goff, or if the Rams had to go potentially with Carson Wentz, which, you know, you might be able to argue at this point, I would be proven completely, I would have to eat a whole bunch of crow. You could argue that Carson Wentz and Matthew Stafford aren't that much different right now today, but I still think Matthew Stafford is definitely an upgrade for the Rams. The problem is he's not so much of an upgrade that the Rams are, you know, 9-2. The reason is he's not the guy that's going to elevate everybody all the time. And we have seen just some really, really bad throws and some really bad decisions. And some of those other things kind of come to the surface against quality teams, which was always the case in Detroit as well. So yeah, I'll let you do the rating, but I would say 7 sounds really good to me. It's definitely better than average. And it gives the Rams a chance to do things on offense that they didn't really have a chance to do, but disappointing over the last 3 games, no question about it. All right, we'll go faster here so we don't take up the rest of the night. Darrell Henderson at running back on a 1 to 10 scale.
I think confidence level of Darrell Henderson is right about a 7 or 8. I want to say, you know, the offensive line, and again, the having a more creative running attack. Now that, let's say, in this game, he got more opportunities than 9 attempts. His ability looks like he's there, but I'd say no more than an 8 or a 9. Call it in the off season, if we're still drafting running backs, I wouldn't doubt that strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the Rams have Darrell Henderson. They also traded for Sony Michel. They did spend a 3rd round pick on Henderson in 2019. They spent a 2nd round pick on Cam Akers in 2020, a guy who's kind of like his absence has been kind of stepped aside because it was so long ago. That has also, I think, impacted the Rams a little bit, but they just haven't had that many chances to run. Daryl Henderson's playing pretty well, but not so, he's not Derrick Henry, which nobody really ever expected anyway. Tyler Higbee at tight end. We had Bryson Hopkins alert. He was active today. A Bryson Hopkins alert. And Kendall Blanton, the Rams did lose Johnny Munt to that, and they also made the decision to not re-sign Gerald Everett, which may or may not matter, but the Rams have not quite found a premier tight end. Where are you at comfort level of the tight end?
It's all going to rest, I think, right about the same sort of seven or eight, where we expected more, especially from Tyler Higbee coming into the season. He looked really good in the preseason and in, say, training camp. Even in the early part of the season, as going to be one of the primary targets. But he's just not, impacted the game like we hoped he would in the red zone. Today we saw on a screen pass where we hoped that he'd be more flashy, breaking at least one of those tackles for a big play. I'd say seven. We expect more out of him if we're going to use him as one of our primary targets.
Yeah, it would just be nice to see something else happened, at tight end, no one would deny that it would be great for the Rams to have a really great tight end. And we'll see if there's any chance of that in the future. Moving through the wide receivers, the Rams have had a lot of turmoil at wide receiver, with Robert Woods going with the torn ACL, DeSean Jackson in, then DeSean Jackson out. One commenter in the postgame thread wrote that Jackie Slater on Fox 11 said some sort of rumor about the Rams and DeSean Jackson not getting along as much because DeSean Jackson doesn't think that Stafford can throw the ball far enough, basically. And I don't know. I mean, it seems like the distance hasn't been too much of an issue, but certainly I think the arm is in question a little bit with this regards to accuracy and maybe some of those deep passes as well. DeSean Jackson was pretty active for the Raiders this week, so who knows? But overall with wide receiver, Cooper Kupp, he leads the NFL in pretty much all the big categories. Van Jefferson can make a big play, but I just think there's an issue with regards to can he make 7, 8, 9. And Odell Beckham had his biggest game as a Ram in a very short period of time of being a Ram. Thoughts on the wide receiver position on that 1 to 10 scale?
Yeah, Cooper Kupp still a 10. I mean, he's been consistent. Like you said, it doesn't always translate into wins over the last three games. Van Jefferson, a 7, but knocking on the 8 because he makes those big plays. So I think if he can find consistency with the catching the ball, I think that he could become a solid number 2. But it's not going to be here in his second season. But again, he's just showing flashes of potential. OBJ today got a little banged up, but still more flashes and showing more production and integration into the offense than just that first week against the 49ers. So optimistic about OBJ, but man, missing Robert Woods.
Yeah, it's been that's been the injuries, it's been a little bit of an issue more and more as the season goes on. Offensive line with issues with Andrew Whitworth against Rashawn Gary today. David Edwards with a big penalty there at the end of the game. Brian Allen, Austin Corbett, and Rob Havenstein out there. The Rams offensive line. I don't know, where are you at there as a whole or individually?
Individually, it's I guess sad to see Andrew Whitworth starting to, maybe degrade a little bit, and that these penalties and getting beat, not what we're used to seeing out of him. But then he is 39 years old. The rest of the guys as a group, doesn't look like we're getting better. If anything, getting worse as the season goes on. Especially the interior, not good, not great, sub 7 rating.
Yeah. Unfortunate there. And then maybe that is an area that can improve a little bit as the year goes on. hopefully. Defensively, Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
That's a tough one, man. I mean, you know, it's so strange that now with Von Miller and Leonard Floyd, still, you know, this was a good game to see it all come together. And one big part of the success from last year's defense, I think, was how effective the Rams were at a four-man rush. And then decent coverage, not even great coverage, but decent coverage where the rush just put enough stress and forced the quarterback to get it off a little quicker than he wanted to. And so that was a big part of last year's defense. And this season, it doesn't seem like we have either that type of potential four-man stress up front and then the type of coverage in the secondary to back that up. So it's weird to say, but Aaron Donald doesn't look 100% or 100% in his prime, I guess you could say.
And how are you feeling about the play of Greg Gaines? He had a sack. He also had a, you know, he was held at it on a key play because he was doing well. Any thoughts on Greg Gaines?
Yeah, Greg Gaines, flashy over the course of the season. He can be really stout. But I think, I think just inconsistent. I think in general, he can be a good player. Again, still young yet, I think in his third season. He's got a good frame, but otherwise, Bobby Brown is another big guy kind of in the wings or in the depth that might, you know, we might be time to give him a look after Greg Gaines.
Yeah. So what would you be at a 1 to 10 scale on the interior of the defensive line?
I'd say probably maybe a soft 8 on the interior line. I mean, we didn't give up too much on the run play, no big plays. You know, we were soft up front, just giving away that 3 or 4 yards every clip, which is not good. But still, overall, I think we're doing all right, but still giving up too much up front. So maybe a soft 8.
Soft 8. If we were looking at the edges here, we've got, you know, up front, maybe A'shaun Robinson, and then at the linebacker, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, Terrell Lewis, Ogboni Okoronkwo. It's kind of been a ride of not that much excitement. Leonard Floyd, you know, he's racked up some sacks here or there. Von Miller, didn't really see a lot of him in a positive light today. You know, we know that he's older. We know that he's had some injury issues, and he, you know, even came to the Rams with a bum ankle and all this kind of stuff. Didn't have a huge impact in the game today, which is, hey, when you trade a second and a third round pick for a guy, you kind of expect him to have an impact against your big opponents like the Packers. They had the bye week. There was a lot going in his favor. Terrell Lewis, not, you know, sometimes he has an impact. Sometimes I kind of forgot he was on the Rams today. A'shaun Robinson, you know, who isn't like a sack guy, you know, but as far as Miller and Floyd and Lewis, Okoronkwo, you know, we're not getting any Chris Garrett in there. How comfortable are you there with the Rams getting an edge rush and having quality, you know, run stoppers and edge players for the final 6 games?
Let's see. I think that we still haven't had a chance to quite see what they can do. Like, I think it goes both ways. To see what the rush can do, we got to make the quarterback hold on to the ball just a little bit longer, give us another half second to get there. And that falls a little bit on the secondary. So I think that today, anyway, we didn't see any of that, where the secondary to me was getting picked apart. Aaron Rodgers had the ability to get it out quick on the short game. And he's got that fadeaway deep ball pass that he can do even off his back foot. So even when we are getting pressure, he's able to get the ball out to the deep or past the intermediate area. So I think, but still, nonetheless, I think, you know, one sack today, we all expect much more out of that, much more out of Von Miller and Leonard Floyd and with Aaron Donald. So I think still underwhelming, but we're not getting help, or they're not getting help from the secondary with such soft coverage.
Yeah. Where are you at in the inside then with Ernest Jones getting, you know, the Rams again? Micah Kizer was on the team. Kenny Young was on the team. You know, the changes in the middle of the season, this team has changed quite a bit as the season has gone on, and they've gotten worse, which doesn't bode very well. It was almost like the Rams were trying to improve even as they were 7-1, 6-1, you know, even as the Rams were considered maybe the best team in the NFL, just saying, oh, got to keep improving, which is true. The Rams did need to keep improving. So far, the improvements haven't been resulting in wins. And Ernest Jones and Troy Reader have been starting in the inside through this stretch of losses. I don't know that Ernest Jones needs to take a lot of blame here, but where would you be at overall here with, do the Rams have any ability to stop offenses in the middle of the field?
Doesn't look like it. They, like I said, Troy Reader was more targeted, it looked like, today. So he had, you know, he was on the spot a lot more, missing tackles and giving up on coverages. So I'd say this is our first, you know, score that's going to be well below a seven. But Troy Reader is the big liability in the defense, and it's all on tape, especially this season. I mean, I'm sorry, especially in this game. So yeah, that's going to be, you know, we're going to have to find a way schematically to help him out. Otherwise, that's that'll continue to be a weakness there in the middle for both pass and run. We're not getting any help from Troy Reader in any of those regards.
What would you give that on a 1 to 10?
Four.
What about on the edges with Miller and Leonard?
It's a seven. Hoping that's got to be that, you know, just the talent-wise. I mean, talent-wise, it's a 9 and maybe a 10, but performance and results is at a 7 right now. So we hope for a lot more. We expect a lot more out of the edges and the pass rush. But the output today scores at a 7 out of a 10.
Cornerback Jalen Ramsey, Dante Dion, Darius Williams. Darius Williams called out on the broadcast even for being like, yeah, he's not having a great year. Dante Dion, you know, shown a couple times just not being, you know, just as we expected. He's outmatched, he's outsized, you know, he's out talented by certain wide receivers. The Rams also have Robert Rochelle. They still have David Long, I guess. But it's just kind of like, this was a team that had let go of Troy Hill, like we said in the beginning of the podcast. Where's your rankings at here, your ratings at here for the corners?
Outside of Jalen Ramsey, you know, we're looking at a near a 5. And that's outside of Jalen Ramsey, but there's a lot of field to cover for just one good corner out there. Darius Williams, a disappointment from last season when we're all hyped on Darius Williams. Where's those big play interceptions that we're missing that we got from him last season? And Dante Dion is a really good elevated practice squad player that can't hang with a group like the Packers for sure.
Yeah. And that's so, yeah, it sounds like, yeah, we're pretty close to a 5, if not for Jalen Ramsey. And the safeties, John Johnson could have been saved. John Johnson could be on the team as far as I'm concerned. You know, the money was there, other decisions were made, and now Taylor Rapp is starting. Terrell Burgess isn't to be found. Nick Scott's not going to start. Juju Hughes isn't going to start. The safeties are what they are now. And like I said, Jordan Fuller, he's just not going to be that. It's not like Jordan Fuller is Kevin Byard. You know, he's not going to show up, every other week with some big game changing play, which is just what the Rams need. If you're going to be a bend, don't break defense, which right now it's just a bend, break defense. then you need guys who make plays. You need to lead the NFL in turnovers. And these are just things that are true. You know, it's not like, oh, you can give them a break. You know, it's just like, no, I mean, the Rams aren't playing in the same atmosphere as, say, the Atlanta Falcons, who are just trying to get their heads above water. You know, they're not in the same atmosphere as the Bears, who are just like, yeah, we'd like to be good in a year or two. You know, now is supposed to be the time. So you got to be able to lead the NFL in some of these categories. You got to do something. And the Rams don't have, you can't compare the Rams to, say, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of a year ago, because we knew how many of those players were already really good. These aren't those players at a lot of positions. There's not going to be, you're just not going to expect Super Bowl moments of like, wow, look at how stacked the Rams are. If they happen to get to the Super Bowl with Troy Reader, and if they happen to go to the Super Bowl with Taylor Rapp, and if they happen to go to the Super Bowl with Darius Williams and Dante Dion, and, you know, just a lot of like quality players who, or, you know, may have roles to serve on teams, but not typically as starters, not typically when you're trying to win a Super Bowl against the likes of the Packers. Now, the good news is outside of the Cardinals, no team in the NFC looks super like great. And not a lot of people feel that, and, you know, strongly about the Cardinals even. So it's a wide open sort of situation where the Rams can jump up. Right. So yeah, there's opportunities to be had. Where do you feel with safety? Because, you know, this is Taylor Rapp's third season. He's been one of the most criticized players on the team, and that's not changing so far this year with his, you know, this is his best shot to put out in an audition as like a long-term NFL starter.
Yeah, I mean, even he had, you know, maybe a couple of good moments or a couple of good games this season, but, you know, now it's been 10 games or 11 games now, and two good games is not great for the body of work. But today, I think, you know, we saw a little bit of the true Taylor Rapp, where still doesn't have a great sense for, you know, can't cover a whole lot of space, can't be relied on for open field tackles all the time. Just out of position. And so I think Taylor Rapp, he's, you know, he's down there with some of the corners down at a 5 out of 10. And Jordan Fuller, same like Darius Williams, where he did kind of flash and he did look a bit more reliable back there during the Staley defense. So it makes us think about Brandon Staley and how much of an effect he had, not only on the game plans, but even on the players, as it seems like all of his players maybe have a little bit of fall off since his departure. So yeah, I put Jordan Fuller in the same category as Darius Williams, where a bit of a letdown this season compared to last. So no higher than a 6 for Jordan Fuller. We need some big plays. Even at this point in the time last season, let's say the Tampa Bay game last year where he had the 2 interceptions against Tom Brady.
Yeah.
This would have been a great game for one of those.
Finally, I got to do it. You know, what are we talking here on the 1 to 10 scale for special teams?
How low? 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's your first sub-5. Let's give him a 3. And again, for today, it'll be because of Robert Rochelle heads up play, getting the turnover on the muffed punt. But other than that, it's no higher than a 3 for me on special teams. Not great. And like, you know, I agree with you that it's the kind of unit where a good play here and there can spell the offensive unit or defensive unit when they're having a tough time. But at least being reliable and not turning the ball over. And Koski, like I said, that was an obvious or a questionable pick in that role.
Yeah, it's becoming an issue. Obviously, it's already an issue. But overall, the Rams, they're dealing with issues. You can just say like one of the problems being that the Tutu Atwell pick, wasn't even necessarily addressing punt returner. He just became the punt returner because it's like, yeah, he doesn't have any role in offense. He did some returning on kickoffs and stuff. Like, he wasn't really a punt returner in college. He wasn't really a returner in college. He's a quarterback in high school. I mean, it didn't even really address that. But when you had the Tutu Atwell pick, okay, maybe he could have done something. Clearly it was like Cooper Kupp at this stage in his career, for a number of reasons, shouldn't really be out there returning punts. Injuries played some part in this, but overall it's just, to not have gotten to this stage with, there just seems to be for the last couple of years, at least the last couple of off seasons, so many decisions in the off season where there was just a lot of waffling. And it was just like with the kicker search last year, just a lot of waffling without any hard commitments and just feeling like it'll all fall into place because, the Rams have, you know, 3 or 4 elite players, and that and that they're going to continue to be willing to just like throw more sticks at the fire, which I think still could work. You know, it's still fine. It's like still could work. The Rams do have enough talent, I would think, that if they start all playing well at the same time, it's going to be a very dangerous team. So to finish off, let's go on that note. Like, we went over the whole roster. We went all over the positions. We didn't hear very many eights, nines, and tens. We did get close there. We had Cooper Kupp at a 10, and you know, you still have Aaron Donald. You still have Jalen Ramsey. You still got some of those players up there. And then you got a lot of sevens with regards to, like, say, an offensive line or a number two receiver maybe. But overall, what are the units that you think, like, where would you place your most optimism in that this unit, this player, this position will be better over the final six games?
I hope it's in the receiver group. I want to say that sort of the passing game, even though, you know, we're going to need the running game for sure. I think that's the one where I hope that we get more production to make a more balanced attack is through the running game. But if you're asking me who I think is going to come together, I think it's going to be the receiving game. See Van Jefferson continue to evolve in only his second season. And then Odell Beckham Jr. finding a rhythm with the offense, finding a rhythm with Matthew Stafford. When I say that, that's also Matthew Stafford, you know, getting back on track.
Yeah, great points. The wide receiver group, there's a lot of reason for some optimism there. And it's interesting, you know, looking at it now, just the fact that where we started in week one, and now here we are in the end of week 12. Cooper Kupp is on the team. Van Jefferson is on the team. No surprises there. And now it's Odell Beckham, Ben Skowronek, JJ Koski, and Landon Akers are all on the 53. So these things change fast. And this is now who the Rams are relying on to help them score points, get down the field, keep up with offenses like Aaron Rodgers, like Tom Brady, like Dak Prescott. We could be looking at the playoffs with the Vikings. We could look into the playoffs and, of course, the Cardinals, the Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Rondale Moore, a lot of keeping up that you have to do. So if Odell Beckham continues to develop that chemistry and get comfortable in this offense over the next six games, can do it fast enough. Van Jefferson, you make a great point of, you know, it's just his second year. He's a bit old for a second year player slash rookie last year and had a lot of advanced play, but we can see that there are those plays he makes pretty consistently that are special. So we'll see if that continues to develop in a more consistent fashion, but there's just going to be a lot of tough matchups ahead for the Rams in the playoffs. As far as their regular season schedule, we'll be back next week after the Rams take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you can't win that game, Blaine, well, I don't know. That is going to be a much harder podcast, I think, to have. What are your thoughts on the needs? What do the Rams need to do against the Jaguars?
Well, it's a get right game, right? So first of all, it'll be, I mean, God forbid, it'll be the fourth loss in a row if it goes the wrong way. So that's the first thing to do is avoid that. But yeah, it should be the game where, you know, call it almost, I mean, not to get crazy, but almost like a bye week where it's the time to get right, get healed, and find a rhythm and be able to put together, you know, a little bit of confidence in the game plan. But we can't come out, you know, like we did against the Detroit Lions and struggle against a team that we shouldn't be if we have big expectations. So big expectations against Jacksonville. So we got to come out and dominate, put up at least 30 points and hold Jacksonville well under that. So at least a win, but by a big spread is what we got to do. Getting ready for Arizona next after that.
Yeah, got to do it. Got to beat the Jaguars. Got to show off that you have an offense. Today, the Jaguars lost to the Falcons, but it was 21-14. It was not, it was a close-ish game. 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, Jaguars beat the Bills 9-6. So it's possible. It's possibly the scariest game of the Rams season to lose to the Jaguars. Because then after that, it's going to be at Cardinals, hosting the Seahawks, at Vikings, at Ravens, hosting the 49ers. if the Rams, for any reason, are 7-5 going into those final five games, really, now you're talking about, can the Rams get to 10-7? So that's going to be such a pivotal game because of this three-game losing streak. It is at home. It is next Sunday, December 5th, 1:25 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I know that I will still be here after the game. I know Blaine will be here, and we'll talk about what happened. It's got to be a big, nice win if Sean McVay wants to quiet at least for a week, and Matthew Stafford wants to quiet anyone for at least a week, talking about whether or not this offseason was a big bag of mistakes. So find Blaine on Twitter at Blaine Didasco, D-Y-D-A-S-C-O. And we got plenty of coverage here coming up on Turf Show Times. Blaine, give me one final, speech to Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay about what's got to happen.
Let's shake it up. I mean, let's look at all angles. We got to look at all areas of the team and come back and dominate against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
There you go. Very, very short, sweet, to the point, and accurate, which is what you're always going to get here on the Turf Show Times podcast, Instant Reaction Show. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with another episode of the Turf Show Times podcast.